Welcome to the Understanding Our Times broadcast, with bold and insightful discussion of current events in the light of a Christian worldview. We count it a privilege to bring you a variety of guests with thought-provoking analysis and commentary on a weekly basis. And now for today's show, here's your host, Kevin Thompson.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Understanding Our Times Internet Radio Podcast. Thanks again for joining us for yet another week. Well, this broadcast, we're going to be talking about something that I think is crucial to a crucial time for every church. It's a difficult time. It's confusing, but again, very crucial, and that is the search for a new pastor. I've been a part of three different pastoral searches, and unfortunately, two of those were with the same church within just a matter of a few years. And I know from experience, and many of you know as well, that if this is not done right, it can really ruin a good church. But on the other hand, if it is done right, God can really bless that. It could be a great time for the church. And so today we have on our program Pastor Chris Bronze, who is the author of When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search, Biblical Principles and Practices to Guide Your Search. He's also the pastor at the Red Brick Church in Stillman Valley, Illinois. Pastor Bronze, welcome to our program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for making the time for us. We've tried to connect a couple other times, and it hasn't worked out, but I'm thankful that you're still willing to come on.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Pastor Bronze, let's jump right into it. I think the first thing in your book that is important is that you mentioned churches shouldn't do this alone. They do need help. Talk to us a little bit about that. Because a lot of churches I remember being there thinking, I'm a Christian, I know the Bible, I know my church, so obviously we can handle this.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I think a church needs to know going in is just that they can't do it themselves, because there is a tendency to feel a sense of self-sufficiency. Many people who will be involved in your search are often leaders in the workplace. They feel like we make personnel decisions all the time. And because they do pastoral searches so rarely, they go into it just feeling a sort of sense of self-sufficiency. And so the first thing to recognize is that if God is not in this, we can't possibly do it on our own. That ought to, in the first place, drive us to our knees. But then in addition to that, in addition to prayer, it ought to motivate us to really understand pastoral searches and how we can do this right. Because as you've already mentioned, Kevin, so much is at stake.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Bronze, let's tackle this from both perspectives, from the church looking for a pastor and a pastor looking for a church. Let's start with let's even back up even further. Let's say I'm a pastor of a church. What could I be doing now to prepare my church for most likely what is the inevitable at some point, whether it's 10 years down the road or 20? What can pastors be doing to prepare their church for that moment?
Well, I love that question. I've been interviewed a lot about this topic, and I don't think anyone has asked me that yet. But the answer is to always be teaching people sound doctrine. I know that sounds awfully basic, but people need to be built up in sound doctrine. I know that you attend a church where that is the case. I'm thankful for your local church, thankful that your pastor, your elders do that, and your local church. So we want to be teaching things like what is the church and what is the role of the pastor teacher within the church. Because a lot of the confusion that we have during pastoral searches now happens because people don't really understand what a pastor is called to do. First and foremost, the Bible calls pastors to preach the word in season and out of season. Now, they have to be biblically qualified in either 1 Timothy 3 or Titus chapter 1. lay out the qualifications for an elder, but we also then want to talk about what does it mean to preach the word. And the best way that a pastor can prepare his church to look for the next pastor, because inevitably if Christ doesn't return, all our churches will go through a transition. I mean, you know, that being the case, what is sound preaching? The best way to do it is to give them a steady diet of biblical, Christ-centered, gospel-centered, word-centered preaching.
And you mentioned that quite a bit in the book, talking about watching more than just the splash. And I like that word picture. Because oftentimes I remember in college anyway, different chapel messages being preached, and it seemed like the more extraordinary the message with the great illustration and the humorous anecdotes and whatnot, those were the big ones. Those were the people that, wow, that was preaching. Or maybe the man just happens to have one of those dominant personalities and he just lets it rip, amen, and knows where those little amen choruses will come. But those are the antics we kind of want to stay away from. And instead, you point out some things to look for. I think this is one of the reasons why this book is so valuable, is to teach people how to evaluate their preaching without being judgmental, but looking through. Talk about you mentioned the bullet. Talk about that for a minute.
I'll step back and I'll explain. You alluded to my illustration a little bit there about watch more than just a splash. What I said in my book was my family and I, we like to watch Olympic diving. We enjoy it. We root for the Americans, of course, because we're Americans. And we, you know, cheer when we win. But the bottom line is that we ultimately don't really know what to look for in Olympic diving except the splash. And we know if the guy goes into, the lady goes into the water clean and there's a little splash, that was a good dive. But after that, we really kind of rely on the judges and the commentators. And I think sometimes people with preaching do the same thing. The only thing they really know to watch for is the splash. Of course, it's the opposite, like you said. They want the big splash, the humorous anecdote or the powerful story of someone's golden retriever got hit by a train and it was a horrible thing. And they play on emotions and things. But we want people to understand what to look for so that they can really evaluate good preaching. And as you mentioned, one of the first things is it a bullet? In fact, I give this phrase, a sermon should be a biblical bullet fired at the life of the listener. I say bullet because pretty much all experts, whatever that means, in preaching agree that in order to be biblical, a sermon should take a clearly focused thought that flows out of the biblical text, and they should then show that how that comes into intersection with the life of the listener. So sometimes preachers will say a lot of good things, but they wander around all the way from Maine to California. They say just a whole, you know, they'll talk about spiritual warfare, and then they'll talk about prayer, and they'll talk about the temptations of Jesus, they'll talk about parenthood. It's just all over the place. But what we want to do is open up a passage, like let's say Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, where Paul says, listen, the reason, Titus, that I left you in Crete was that you might appoint elders in every town just as I directed you, and this is what you should be looking for in an elder. He then lays out the point of that text. And so we want our people to be like the Bereans, that they hold the word right in front of them. They receive the scriptures eagerly, but Acts chapter 17 says that they examine the scriptures themselves to see if these things are so. Again, in your case, I have the advantage of knowing your pastors. I know the different pastors in your church, and I know that's exactly what your church envisions for your people. Pastor Bigsby in the Gospel of Matthew, he wants you to hold that word in front of you. And if he's preaching on Matthew chapter 18, he wants you to look down on the page and say, is this the point of the text? Or is this just some harangue from the pastor? Is this a biblical bullet fired at the life of the listener? That's what good preaching is. It's not complicated. It's scripture, or preaching rather, that flows clearly out of the text and then comes into intersection with life.
And you mentioned, you highlight the need for expository preaching as opposed to merely topical. Because when you say biblical sermon, a lot of people have the idea of, well, he used the Bible. I mean, he opened up to this text and this text and this text. Why is expository preaching to be preferred over just, well, let's look at, as you mentioned, from Maine to California, from Genesis to Revelation? Why is a steady diet of expository preaching to be preferred over just the topical?
Well, absolutely. The difference there is sometimes we use the word proof texting, and I could grab scriptures from wherever I wanted and fold them together in such a way to make the point that I want. But that's not expository preaching. Expository preaching happens when I take a unit of the text, could be a paragraph, it could be a verse, it could be a chapter, it could even be a book. But I let the inspired meaning of the Word of God set the table and prescribe what it is I'm going to say. You know, really, if you think about it, all the cults do, of those groups that really deny anything from the authority of Scripture to the deity of Christ, they'll grab a scripture from here or there, and use that to make their point. But that's not expository preaching, obviously. Expository preaching is taking the 23rd Psalm and saying, what does this say? And then what does that have to do with life now? Now, I don't think I should ask, do you personally own sheep?
I do not own sheep.
Okay, and I'll bet you nobody in your local church does. And so we're going to have to do some work if we're going to be expository preachers there to say, what does it mean? What did it mean biblically in the 23rd Psalm to be a shepherd? And what can that possibly have to do with driving, crossing the state border from Wisconsin to Illinois like you often do? What does being a shepherd and the Lord being my shepherd have to do with life now? What does it have to do with forming young minds and Christian educations like now? So we want to take the timeless truth of Scripture and fire that bullet at the life of the listener this year, 2011, and see what that has to do with living today.
So how can a congregation looking at a pastoral candidate, they're examining the sermon, but how do we avoid, because every pastor comes in, and most likely if they're invited to preach, they're going to pull out the all-time hits. They're going to pull out the message that they've preached 100 other times before, and they know this is the good one. How does the church get an accurate handle of the reality of this man's preaching?
Well, you know, even that can be very instructive, because you're right. I mean, I've candidated before, and when I candidated, I didn't preach a dud. You know, that's no
right.
Time to take one of your sermons that wasn't any good and to preach it. But pay careful attention to what the pastor preaches. What is it that he considers to be a hit? Because, you know, what a lot of guys will do in that situation is they will gravitate to the sermons that they think most connected with the emotions of the people. And that would be instructive. Now, it's not wrong. Good preaching should connect with the emotions.
Right.
But I would say, and I spent a lot of time laying this out in my book, When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search, I would say just look, did this biblical truth flow out of the passage being preached? Or was it more like the text was a kind of diving board where the guy bounced around a little bit and then jumped off into whatever story he wanted to tell about his experience in ministry? I think another thing that a congregation needs to do is interview a pastor very closely about preaching. Mm. Ask him, what's your philosophy of preaching? What do you believe? Now, right off the bat, he should be pulling on the text and saying, well, listen, Paul says 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures, God breathed, it's useful. And then right after that, chapter 4, verse 1, unfortunate chapter division, I think, he says, preach the word. He might talk about that passage. There's lots of passages to talk about. But what you're looking for is a pastor who has a theology of preaching that really builds on the word. Ask him, how does he prepare? What steps do you go through? What do you do in the week? How do you use commentaries? How do you decide what to preach? And you go through those questions that I've laid out. And I think you will be able to, even if he just comes in and is a one-hit wonder, you'll be able to identify, does he really have the skills needed to week in, week out, preach the word?
All right, the book is When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search. The author is Chris Bronze, who's our guest this week. Let's back up a little bit. And let's say the pastor has resigned. The church is now given the task of finding someone else, finding a replacement. To what degree, I'm trying to phrase this question, it's kind of in my mind here. Most churches would immediately start setting up a pastoral search committee. Let's first ask, is that the right step? Some churches would say, no, we're going to leave this up to the other elders, and they'll just clue us in when it's our time. Or should there be an actual committee set up for that purpose, assuming that there's a church that has elders and so on?
Well, let me just be really transparent with you. Personally, I believe that the biblical ideal is that qualified plurality of elders would lead the church in calling the next pastor. The reality is that in many, many churches, that is not how it works. In my church, the way it is in our constitution, just full disclosure, is that we would name a pastoral search committee. And so, you know, odds are if your pastor has recently resigned, you're not going to change the church governance or the church polity. So you've got to work with what you have. But I think the biblical ideal is that qualified elders would lead the church in making that choice.
Now, assuming there's an elder board or other pastors, how involved should the congregation be?
Well, I think they need to be very, very, very involved. And what I mean by that is I think that the elders should be listening to them, talking to them, learning from them. But I also think that they need to be very involved in being reminded and being taught again what is the church supposed to look for in their pastor. And so I recommend in my book, I've already alluded to this a little bit, but I recommend in my book that the church focus on a couple passages. I would focus on the passage about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, and I would also focus on a study in the pastoral epistles, say Titus or 1-2 Timothy. And I think the church should be involved again in coming back and saying, what does it mean to be a biblical shepherd? Of course, shepherd is the primary metaphor that the scripture uses that we should look for in our pastor.
Well, once that's been established, and this is a question, this is coming from my own background in a situation that came up, and I hadn't really thought about it beforehand, but how involved should the departing pastor be in this process? Assuming there's whether there's elders or not, should the departing pastor have some say, or is it a matter of once he's done, he's done? What kind of input should he be giving?
Well, I think that depends on the health of the situation. And ideally, if the pastor, let's say that God allows me to finish my pastoral ministry here in Stillman Valley, ideally then as the time drawing to a close for whatever reason, I would take special steps to build into our congregation, to prepare them, to prepare the elders, to prepare the leaders. So I think in that regard, you know, and ideally, he should be very involved. Of course, you know, and I know, that on many, many occasions, the pastor leaves for one reason or another that is unhealthy.
Right.
Perhaps there's some sort of conflict. Perhaps he felt like his time was just really at an end and that there were ways that he wasn't being effective there. Perhaps he had used sort of all his leadership equity. And at that point, then, you know, realistically, he's really going to have to get out of the way and let the next pastor be called. So a lot of it depends. I guess that's a long way to say a lot of it depends on the particular situation.
Well, let's take this from the different perspective of the pastor looking for a church. He's gotten a key, submitted his resume, or done whatever the church requires of him to do. They've called him to come. He's an official candidate. What should that pastor be looking for in this church? Obviously, he's looking at something that's very doctrinal, but what should he be looking for when visiting?
Well, I think what you have to look at is really what is the church looking for in a pastor. I think you need to be very careful that the church is not just reacting to the previous guy. Sometimes you see that. You'll have many times we call it the pendulum effect, where the church is really just in reaction mode from the previous pastor. Whatever that guy didn't do well, they're looking for the next pastor to do really well. And so you get that reaction mode. And so that would be something that I would look a lot, ask lots of questions. You know, ask the elders, ask the deacons, ask the diaconate, the trustees, trustees or missions committee, what in your mind would be a good pastor? I think you have to ask a lot of things like, are there unresolved conflicts? Where are your membership roles at? Have you practiced church discipline? Have you done those things? You just have to probe, you know, examine, collect lots of data. Don't get in too much of a hurry.
Well, the book again is When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search, and Chris Brandt is our guest. And you can pick this book up at any Christian bookstore, basically, or you could go on our website. We'll have a link to it. It's published by Moody Publishers. You can look on Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com. Anywhere where good Christian books are sold, you can pick up a copy. We would urge you to do so. Pastor Bronze, what are some of the common mistakes churches make when they jump in? They're trying to do the right thing, but they're...
Well, I've already mentioned the pendulum effect where essentially they're hiring out of reaction to the previous pastor. And by the way, that can go one of two ways. It can be that they had a bad experience with the previous pastor. Now they're just looking for something different. Or it can be that they loved their previous pastor and now they're looking for someone just like him. But in either case, I would say it's a new day and you need to just start from the beginning and call someone that you believe is really going to help lead your church forward. So that's one thing. I think another thing is just running out of steam. You know, it is a long haul. You mentioned you've done this. Have you been on, how many search committees have you been on?
I've been on two search committees, but I've been in three instances where the church was looking for a new pastor.
Well, yeah, Kevin, I'm sure you know then. I mean, you get stacks of names to consider, stacks of sermons to listen to. People are busy. Let's say that as a local church, you only considered, 30 potential pastors. Well, if you listen to three sermons each for your search committee, that would be, you know, as much as, 75 hours of preaching. I mean, that's a ton. And so what happens is, after a while, I mean, you would think that a church would never cut corners on this, but it's just a matter of, you know, logistics. They get in a hurry. People in their church are asking, how's it going? What progress are we making? And so I think that's one thing. I think another thing is, if you are in a church that appoints or calls, or however you say it, a nominating or a pastoral search committee, that has to be done right. Who you get on that committee is going to be absolutely critical. And if you have different value sets there, then you are headed for some real disagreements. So be very, very careful as you appoint your pastoral search committee.
Well, we're running out of time, and there's so many other things. We haven't even scratched the surface. But the good news is it's all in the book, and you can go ahead and purchase this. Again, the book title is When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search by Pastor Chris Bronze. The last question I want to throw at you comes down to a burden I have being a member of several different small churches. In the past, I don't think the church I'm at is very small, although compared to a mega church, I guess you could say it's small. But we're talking about the church of 20, the church of less than 50. Maybe it's shrunk down in size, maybe because of the pastor. Who knows? But that church oftentimes has difficulty attracting someone, knowing that they may not even be full-time. The church may not be able to pay him a salary. How does that church move on from the loss of a pastor?
Well, that's a great question. It's really an important one. And if you're in that situation, you're not alone. And this, of course, could be a session all its own, another interview.
Right.
But quickly, what I would say is find a local church that you really respect and get help from the elders of that church. Don't just try and do it on your own. Don't sit around with 10 to 15 people just trying to figure out this thing. You'll really need help from area pastors or pastors that you respect to outline a strategy, because essentially at this point, what you're trying to do is launch a church plant. And in order to get the momentum going to be an independent local church, you're almost certainly going to need input from people who think about this 23 and a half hours a day. And so I would say get help from respected pastors and elders.
At what point do you think the church just needs to consider merging with another, or maybe even, I hate to say, but close the doors?
Yeah, I mean
there are several churches I'm thinking of right now that have been years without a pastor. They're kind of going through the motions, but it's hard to attract a pastor to that area, or for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easier sometimes to give birth to babies than to raise the dead, right? And
right.
So a church in that situation, I think that they, again, I would just say get help, get input. Don't think if you do close your doors that means that nothing that went before mattered. That doesn't mean that at all. Chances are the church had a really healthy ministry at one point. But now if you can take those assets and leverage them in a particular way for the cause of Christ, that would be a wonderful thing to do. And so maybe meet with a church. Maybe there's a church plant that is thriving that you could connect with, and they could use your facilities or something like that. I mean, there are exciting options that way, and we need to think creatively about the stewardship of the resources God has given to us.
Well, Pastor Bronze, again, I want to thank you for joining us. Any final thoughts that you want to throw out to our listeners before we go?
There are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, great chapter about the resurrection. But Paul says at the end of that chapter, therefore your labor, your work in the Lord is not in vain. always continue being, I'm paraphrasing, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And for those people who are out there in the trenches and local churches who are working at day jobs and then going off to a meeting in the evening when they're tired, maybe they even miss having supper, I want to tell them, look, it's not in vain. It's worth it. Persevere. The local church is as much God's plan for this age as the ark was for Noah's. Just keep going in your local church.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bronze, for joining us. And again, the book is When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search. We'll have a link to that on our website. Go ahead and purchase a copy today. And don't forget to join us next week for another broadcast. Thank you for listening, and may God bless the rest of your week.